Mr. Carter, Reel 8. We're talking about the personalities and characters that you were serving with in Meerut, Mr. Carter. What about men that were in your own platoon and company that you came across, or the other ranks? Any of those that stand out in your mind?
No, not actually at Meerut, no.
Well, presumably they, as you've intimated, there were no problems at all with amongst you. No doubt there'd be the usual army griping, was there?
Not a lot. No, not a lot. You didn't get it with regulars. Because if you did, they'd just turn around and say to you, well, you shouldn't have joined.
The officers and NCOs in you, other than the, well, one or two that you have intimated you didn't particularly get on with, were they efficient and competent people?
They weren't proved, were they? They were only internal security. It wasn't like being up on the North West Country. Well, you proved them a bit more. You always proved an officer in action, don't you? Not like that. Or the being in action. We had quite a few First World War officers. But they were very scarce. We were getting those young officers now. And we started to get the Indian coming in then. They were called Viceroy Commissioned Officers. And I think there was a bit of feeling against them at the start, you know, having just looked them.
How were they coming in to a British regiment?
Because the situation was getting worse, wasn't it, towards, you know, what.
This is nearer the war time. We can deal with that later.
I think I did read about one in our Gazette. He's now a big high officer in the Indian Army. He was on the second lieutenant.
Did they come in because there was a lack of British officers?
Or no, they came in for training.
That's what I was going, yes. Yeah. They came in to be trained by
them.
And pick up experience. Then they would go to an Indian regiment.
Like
what was your relationships with other regiments and units around you?
Well, quite good. We were something 21st Lancers and the Army. Got on quite well, played football with them and all that and the other.
No rivalry which ended up with fisticuffs at all?
No, never.
Was it impressed upon you very forcibly about how you had to behave as English or British soldiers out in a colony?
Not actually, but we knew if we didn't, we were in trouble.
Can we look at the parades that you would have? Obviously, the church parades went on every Sunday, did they?
Every Sunday, it was you got into your best uniform, you wore your best topi, you wore your leathers, that's a leather belt with the two pouches and the frog for the bayonet. You drew your rifle, and you drew five rounds. You marched to church by the band. Your rifle, you sat down in the pews, and your rifle, there was a slot in front of you where your rifle went. And that went on to the night. I think it was about 1936. Before it changed anyway, a few years after, I guess you could say that. It became voluntary, but up to then it was compulsory. the 17th plus 21st Lancers were there. I mean, they're the cream of the British Army. They had a band second to none, and they always played in the church. And if church clock up above, the clock never went. It was said that the mutiny started in Meerut, and it was said one of the mutinies put a bullet through the clock, and it was never repaired. Then you had on the 1st of January, you were all dressed up again, and it was proclamation parade, where every regiment paraded, Indian and all the lot, swear allegiance, you know, sort of a big march past. I mean, I heard these bagpipes coming from away onto the big, what you call a mire dam, big open space where the parade was taking part. And I thought, well, there's more Scotch regiment here it was. And it was an Indian regiment coming through to join us.
Must have been a very colourful occasion.
It was, very colourful, yes.
Were there any other particular ceremonial parades during the course of a year that you had to parade for? I'm thinking again. Did you still go on with your Alma parade and ceremony?
Yes, I still had that one, the Alma parade. Yes, I did. I know the first battalion always had it in England. I can't remember if we had it in the second. As I said, the main one was the 1st of January.
Did you go out to kind of show the flag to the natives in the area that you were there, your presence was there?
We were always on standby when Ramadan, you know, that festival, Muslim festival, we were always on standby for that. We practiced, as I've told you, we used to go out to Ramadan and all the rest.
Ramadan was the period that you had to be alert in
yes.
case. But did you have any problems?
No, never had any problems. No.
I forgot to ask you when you were on about the church parade. What happened to the nonconformists and the Roman Catholics?
Oh, they all had their own parades. Yes.
Yes. And was there a church in the cantonment for each of these people?
There was a priest for them. They went somewhere. I don't know where they went.
The cantonment would be protected by guards, presumably.
Well, yeah, they always had the quarter guard of the guard, and the regimental police was always patrolling. That was all.
Did you have any situation where Indians were breaking in to steal or try to steal weapons or what have you?
No, never had that.
Were the guards issued with live ammunition whilst they're on duty?
Yes. And at night time they were issued with what we call bookshot. Like spread in the bookshot. They were changed over to that at that time.
And that would go into your 303 rifle?
Yes.
I hadn't heard of that before. I didn't realise that the cartridge could be fired from a 303 which would spray like a bookshot.
Yeah, yeah.
The usual challenges, no doubt, for the for anyone that appeared.
Oh yes, yes, all the challenges. I mean, the army officer would come round any time at night time, and you had to be ready to challenge him. Man, there was one incident. With Lieutenant Jackson, he must have been on the whiskey or something. He was army officer for that day, and he couldn't round at night time. They challenged him, and he didn't give the passwords. He was nearly hard. But another one, he'll ask you for your orders. What was your orders in case of fire? And he was asking this young kid, like, what's your orders for fire? And he was saying, in case of fire, sir. Yes, in case of fire. In case of fire, yeah. Anyway, it's like a little man's an idiot, me moved away.
Were there any of your people who had accidents which resulted in death or disease at the during the time that you were there?
I ever thought of one, I didn't know him. He died, I think he died at 8 or something. And I thought of his grave. That's the only one he buried in the minute.
And he'd be buried with full military honours?
Yes, he was buried with full military honours, yes.
And is there a British cemetery out there? Well, obviously, it must be an area. Did they have a Commonwealth War Graves stone, the usual army stone, if they died during the war?
There were regimental badges and your number and your name on the stone.
Did you come? Well, you have actually inferred that you did come across Indian troops. Yeah. What were they like?
They were all nice, yes. Very smart and well behaved.
In this early period, did you get close enough to them to form an opinion about them as soldiers?
No, not in the early part, no.
Have you any other memories of Meerut that we haven't touched upon?
Well, I think it's going quite good now. There's one, he was an Irishman, and he did like his drink, and he was on the quartermaster's staff. And of course, he'd been in the Irish regiments, which were disbanded after 1922, if you remember. They were gone out Rangers and all that, they were disbanded. And he was one of them, and he must have volunteered to come to the Green Hours. And he got, he was a tubby fella. And he lived in a bunk, again, the quartermaster's store. But during the cold weather, he'd been drinking at a canteen, and he went on to his bunk and lit a fire, and he fell into it and burnt his hand. Was badly burned. I think he died later on. Yeah.
Was there a hospital in the cantonment?
Yes, there was an hospital. A fair distance away. The only time I went to it was on guard duty to the two that had.
Was it staffed with British nurses? And
yes, there were British nurses there.
Were there Indians with them as well?
Yes, Indians and all. Yes. I couldn't say much about it because all I saw was this fellow in this bed, and we were there, like, we didn't go actually into the hospital. We were on the outskirts of it, so we didn't see much of it.
I forgot to ask you also when we were talking some time ago about the food situation. Was that supplied by Indian contractor?
Yes. Yes, he had everything.
Did the quality of the food that he supplied, did it vary at all? Was it of a good standard all the time? Or?
Oh, it was pretty good to look. We actually got, we supplied, sandwiches were called banjos, bacon banjos, egg banjos, something like that. And we had nothing much at night time when they came around, and we'd buy a sandwich off them and a cup of tea.
Was plenty of fruit available to you?
All the fruit while we were there, we came on with the fruit. I liked a mango, I looked to liking a mango. Which is, you're warm not, you could get plenty of fruit down the bazaar, but you're warm not to eat that. No.
Were there any particular illnesses prevalent to India amongst British soldiers?
Not at all. I don't know. Good sickness.
Must have been a high emphasis on good hygiene within the camp.
Oh yes. Showers and all right for water. Meerut, at least you were all right there.
How long were you at Meerut?
Just less than 3 years.
This would bring us up to what year that you left. Where did you go then?
Well, we went to, I got on the third year, I at last got up to a hill station called Missouri. We were a small detachment, more or less for administration purposes. We set off from Meerut by train. We then got into a bus that took us into Missouri. And from Missouri, it was a climb up to the hill station. And coolies were employed to carry our bedding up and all equipment and everything. I've seen them with a big chest on the backs and had a band across the forehead that would do with that steep coming up and down. And our bungalow was the first one you came to. There'd be about 30 of us. And it was grand to get up there. It was the first time I'd been on a hill station. And the snow was just beginning to go, there's still patches of snow. And then the Malik quarters started to arrive, Malik women. There was all sorts of regiments. There was Welsh regiment, our own regiment, Oxford and Books, Devonshire, the Welsh, and plus some of the Indian, who were attached to Indian, you know, such as RAC and that. Their wives came up. Oh, it was a big contract there. And I got a job, and they put me on what was, I was called a lackey waller. I had to supply wood to all the married people. I had a book, and I went down. And there was these sepoys with the mules, and we loaded up the wood and we dumped it off. We were rushing with a sea of wood. And I had a smashing job, and there was one Oxford Books lady took a fancy to me, and she sent me a cape down. She'd been a cook in the officer's mess in Germany, she said. She sent it down by a bear. I got on with her all right. And we used to meet in the club. This was the first time we got any female company, such as there was plenty there.
Some liaisons formed, no doubt.
Oh yes, we had a lot of them. Quite a lot. You couldn't expect nothing else.
These were single ladies, were they?
Oh well, married. My husband was down below. You see, they could only come up for a month. And we used to meet in the club house and play housey-housey, and then we had dances with our old piano. And there's one bloke said, he said, we take the kids out by day and we take the women out at night. Because they did one day, they had nothing to do, they did take these kids out. And I said, what were you doing today? He said, oh, we took the kids out, and he said, the little devils, he said, you know where that big drop is, where them railings are? He says, they're swinging on that leg, he said. About a 10-foot drop. Then we had a funeral. Now this is comical because I was listening to, he was giving his talk on his life story on TV. Williams. And it's Williams, because in that talk that followed, evidently he was in a small party, and they had to be there. Were called up for a funeral party. And they all said that either they were Baptist or they'd taken the mickey out of this officer. I said, well, he said, you were fit. You know, I made him go to this forest to receive funeral. And then he said, you need smartening up. So he said, they've got a Jeremiah infantry sergeant to come to smarten them up. He said he made off with the funds, the regimental funds. Well, we were called up for a funeral. He was an Indian, a retired one. There were other retired people up there.
Civil servants, were they? Yeah. Indian civil servants. But British, but the British.
British officers,
yeah.
Yeah.
Or British
retired,
officers.
Retired and lived up there. Because it was a good life up there. And we were called up, six of us, because we'd been a small detachment. They just said, you're for the funeral party. So we set off. And from the road, the bungalow was downwards. So we went down. And we went into the bungalow and we picked up the coffin. And of course, the usual cock-up that we made. There was four big ones and two little ones, and I was one of the little ones, and my mate was a little one. So we picked up the coffin, and as we started to climb up, of course the coffin, we didn't, our shoulders didn't come under the coffin, you see. So it was on these four big ones, you see, we were climbing up. So when we got to the road on top, there was a trolley waiting. We put the coffin on the trolley, and the way to the church. And I think it was a bit of a monsoon weather there, because the parson was waiting, and he had a bearer there with his umbrella. And you know, as you start off going through to the church, it's ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Well, just then it started to rain, so instead of that he said, ashes to ashes, bearer, put the umbrella up. My mate said, hear that. They really got the coffin right, and you said that. So it was just a bit like Ken Williams' filming thing, you see. Yeah, got that over with.
Whereabouts was this station in India itself?
It's up on the hills somewhere, Missouri. It's well known as Missouri.
But we're not at the northwest frontier yet.
Oh, no, we're a long way from the northwest frontier. Anyway, there was one lad who'd been got into trouble again with one of his married women. He'd been torn a strip off by the sergeant in charge. And he was run hardly. And he was sat on the steps outside, and this woman came down to see him with a proper job. He sat there. He said, no, says, I'm not coming. He said, we've got me into enough trouble. And we wouldn't have known, like, but the sergeant was in his bunk at the side, and we heard him. There was nobody in there. He was just there. He didn't go outside. He said, I couldn't help but laugh when he said, I was not coming. He's got me into enough trouble. Anyway, it's about August. We got our orders to go back to Meerut.
Just before we go there, a little bit more time with in this station. You said there were about 30 of you. Would that be your platoon, basically, that was in this party?
No, they were picked from all different companies. Some acted as police and some acted as clerks or something, you know, administration and
administering the camp or whatever they called it, the area.
In case any trouble, I suppose, or anything like that.
But it was basically a place for married families.
Oh, yes, yes.
It wasn't a place where the troops, other than the married families of people that were connected to them, it wasn't just a general hill station for the troops itself.
No, no, it was only used in hot weather. It would be closed down again, it would be all snowed up.
So what period of time was this? What time of the year would you be there?
I think we were sent up there in May, and I think it would be to September would be when we would come back, but we came back in August, I think.
And you'd have your own messing facilities, divorced from the rest?
Cook. We took one of the Indian cooks and on our own. We had one of them big tin bath in it. He ate his cookhouse and he bathed in there.
Were the good bungalows that you were in?
Yes, pretty good, yes.
And whilst these activities were going on and access to ladies was so much easier, were there any situations when an angry husband turned up and wanted to know what had happened to his wife?
No, not at all. No, there was nothing about that. No, I always said we're on brigade manoeuvres tonight. Of course, the brigade then was four regiments, wasn't it? Well, there was lots of walks on the hill station where you could go for a walk all around and you'd meet one with a Welsh woman and one with a Oxenbucks, that walking away, and one with a Devon, and one with some other legends, and I called it Brigade Manoeuvres.
And they had their children with them, so presumably there'd be a school there?
There was a school, yes. Yes.
And all the essential facilities that you needed to have there.
Oh, it was grand up there after being 3 years, nearly 3 years, not weather down below. It was like, it's like England anymore, and it's up there.
Who was in charge of you?
He was after the Bedfordshire Regiment. He was captain of the Bedfordshire Regiment. I call him Beds and Biscuits, I call him.
He must have had a particularly difficult job keeping an eye on you all.
Well, yeah, there was a little place if you got anywhere near the married quarters, they were there. You didn't go to the married quarters. Man, I was lucky I could go around all the married quarters and you were all right.
As you had this job.
The quarterman said, there's only one man I can trust. He said, that's Carter then. Well, I succumbed to the temptation, shall you say.
Well, the temptation was great, let's face it.
Yeah.
A young, athletic young people.
The women as well, I mean, they had a very boring life when you come to think of it, especially say, corporals, the lance corporals, the privates. What am I to look forward to? My husband said the way I was doing. There was no entertainment much. It was very poor life for me. You could understand why you went up the rails or what I mean. Yeah. Well, you got to a good station, say, like Bombay or Calcutta. There is a bit of life there, but these out-out stations, there was nothing.